here today. Thankful to be here, a little bit weary in body, but I am encouraged in my spirit, and just like to welcome each one of you very heartily that made the effort to be here. I know some of you, it took a lot of effort, and you came a lot of miles, and so we're very grateful that you are here with us and made this possible to have this men's conference. Back a couple of weeks, I thought we had another speaker, and I thought I'm going to get to just kind of sit in the back and say amen and cheer him on, and then he canceled out, and I kind of got pressed into service here. So I do need your prayers. I don't stand before you in any way because I feel like I've got it all together, but because I believe in an almighty God that has done a work in my heart and has inspired me, and I'm thankful for that. The things that Brother Jordan shares about gets my heart pumping, and it makes me excited because I know that's what I'm called to. And I was blessed to be here when he shared all his messages with the youth, and it was very good. It was a blessing to me, and it was life-changing, and so I'm excited about that. Today, I'd like to just kind of, as an opening message, I want to, with the help of the Lord, God has been doing a work in my heart, in my marriage, and in my family, and I'm very excited about that. And so I have four messages all together, Lord willing, and today I kind of have an opening message for us. I want to share with us. I kind of struggled with the title for it. I was like, you know, maybe coming before God with honesty, or I kind of settled down on a changing of our identity, and I'll get to why I made that the title of this message. But to start with, it would be interesting for us if we would go up and down these rows, and I would ask each one of you, why did you come this week? You didn't just decide to go to the men's seminar for no reason. You had a reason, and it could be different for different people, and I'm sure that it is the why of why we chose to be here this week. For some, maybe you don't have a great need in your life. You're just here for fellowship, or maybe you're curious. And others, maybe there's a heaviness that you're carrying along. You're not exactly sure what that heaviness is, but you want to know. And so you decided you're just going to go set aside a week and seek the Lord. And yet others, maybe you're here and you really are heavy with sin and you're feeling like you want to roll a burden away. You really want to deal with that sin. If not felt free to deal with it where you're at, you're thinking, maybe I go to men's conference, I'm going to roll that burden away, I'm going to go home a new man. And others, you're on fire for God already, and you just simply want to come for more. You want a deeper walk with God. You want to be sure that you're sure that you know that you know that you're a man of God, and you're going to be that warrior that Jordan's going to preach us about later. And so maybe some of you came and you just lack assurance. You're not exactly sure where you stand with the Lord. You've professed and you've acknowledged God and you professed Jesus, but you're just not sure where you're at and you want to lay that to rest. That's good. Praise God, you can have that assurance. You know, all these are good reasons to come together at a men's conference, and maybe obviously some are here for reasons that I didn't even mention, and that's all right. But I want you, dearly beloved brethren, to know that no matter why you came here, no matter what the burden on your heart, no matter what your reason is, no matter what that doubt is, if you came here with an honest heart, you can walk out that door Friday or even today a free man. And that's the gospel that we believe in. We believe in freedom. And that's my heart, that we would have that the Spirit of the Lord would be here, because in Corinthians, I believe it says that where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And I'd just like you to unite in prayer with me before we get into the message and ask God to just be here with us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, we know that without your Spirit here, if it's just man speaking and saying words, Lord, it's a dead thing, Lord. So we pray that you would open heaven now, Lord, as you already have. Lord, and you'd pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Lord, you know that I am weak in body today and tired, Lord, but I believe that your power, that you will bless us with your Spirit's power. And I just invite that presence here, Lord. Give each one of us honest, open, committed hearts today and throughout this week. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your law, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love your word, and we love you for who you are and what you've done for us. Just anoint me now, Lord, as I speak, Lord. May it make sense, Lord. And Lord, may it come together, Lord, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have to be here this week, honest and committed. And some of us, maybe you've been in defeat for too long. You've let Satan's lies just, you know, weigh you down and determine in your heart that the devil has maybe got you that thinking that you're just a hopeless case, that there's no hope. There is hope. You know, the enemy's a liar, and he says he'll tell people that you're a hopeless case, and you'll believe his lies and walk through your life not fulfilling the promises that God has for us. But there's a place that we can go. And I'd like to read two verses in Hebrews in 6, 18 and 19. He says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So there is a place that we can go and we can find a hope, a refuge, a place where we don't believe the lies of the enemy, but there's a place, a hope of refuge for us. And the enemy wants us to think that it's too hard, that you cannot have freedom, that you cannot walk in the joy of the Lord, that you can't. He'll lie and lie and lie to us. And he'll try to get us to believe and accept that. He'll try to tell you that you cannot just believe in the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be free. He'll tell you you can't do that, that you'll need some kind of a high-powered person or some kind of a 12-step program, and it's almost impossible to find it. So you need to just be committed to living a defeated life and to believe the lies of the devil. That's not true. You see, Satan wants us to keep pushing it off. He wants us to keep kicking that can of the sin or whatever that can that you're kicking around. He wants you to just kick it on down the road and say, I'll deal with it later. Because I don't know how to get to freedom. I don't know how to find freedom. You know, there are so many promises, and I'd like to today share some of those promises out of His Word. I would like to allow God, by His Word, speak to us and tell us about the freedom and the hope that is set before us. Tell us about that place of refuge where we can flee and lay hold on. That's what I'd like to do today with the help of the Lord. So many, they end up lost forever because they know about Jesus, they hear about God, they acknowledge Him in their head, but they don't allow Him to become a lover like Brother Jordan's going to share with us. They don't embrace that resurrection power, and I'd like to share some scriptures on that because that is the key in my heart, in my what He has shown me is that you need to do more than know about Him in your head, but you need to experience the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave in your life. Amen. Do you know what resurrection power is? Have you experienced resurrection power? The other day we were getting ready to get aboard the plane, and I noticed this guy, he was an American, come up, and he kind of struck up a conversation, and he's seeing my wife, you know, dressed with her dress and her head covering, and he starts talking about being Amish. It kind of opened up a door, and we kind of veered off into the political thing, found out he hated our president and all that, and so we didn't get very deeply into that. But we got to talking about religion, and we got to talking about who Jesus is, and he said, well, he's a Jew. He didn't believe in Jesus, and we got talking about sin and sinners, and if we're sinners, and he was like, you know, you are a sinner, aren't you? And I said, no. I said, I don't identify as a sinner because I believe Jesus Christ died to make me a saint. And he was like, he didn't really like that. And you know, that is where the devil is as well. If he can get you to only believe about Jesus in your head and believe that you're just a sinner and that when Christ enters your life, nothing changes, that's where he wants you. But if you will allow the resurrection power of Christ to come into your heart, and you can have the power to defeat that sin and that bondage that keeps you down. So I would like to share some scriptures. I believe that there's many precious souls that are into religion don't experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. They do not see that the blood of Jesus is there to wash them from their sin. And it's in the Bible. Jesus said, He came, it says in the Word, that He came to save His people from their sins. It's in Matthew 1:21. It says He came to save His people from their sins. It does not say that Jesus just came to somehow cover you and leave you a sinner. What would that make us? A wet sinner? A bloody sinner? I don't know. I'd like to say Jesus died to make us a child of the living God, a saint filled with the Holy Spirit, and that sin that the Satan had bound us in and said, this is who you are. You will be a sinner when Jesus Christ enters in and we go the way of the cross. Those chains of sin have to fall. They have to fall. When our heart is honest and committed to Him, they have to go. But the enemy lies to many, and he says, your sin and your case is exceptionally bad. You can't know victory because the blood is not powerful enough. If it was so powerful, why aren't you free? Sometimes, beloved, I think it's time that we change our identity as Christians and we stop listening to the lies of the devil and we stop saying, I'm just a sinner. Because you're not just a sinner when Jesus Christ's blood enters in. That's why He died, is to make so that you're not just a sinner. But He changed your identity. He took you from this place in the deep miry clay, and you came and you cried out, and He reached down and drug you out of that. How are you still what you were there? When you profess Jesus Christ, how can He reach out and bring you out and put His Spirit in you, and yet you're still the same thing? It cannot be. It's time for us to change the way we think and make our identity a different identity. And this is true also in the Scriptures. And I want the Scriptures to back up what I'm saying here. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Are you here today? Are you believing that there's instances in your personal life and in your family, are you believing the lies of the devil that he says, there are certain aspects of my Christian life that have not changed and will not change? Are you believing that lie? You cannot go through life and believe this. He says that He, through death, the death of Christ, the way of the cross, that He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You are not subject to bondage. He died to destroy the power of death. Are you willing to accept the fact that we not only walk the way of the cross, where we repent of our sins, that is to turn from our sins, and our sin is here, we turn from our sins and we turn to God through Jesus Christ. Repentance. But we want to go deeper than that. We commit our lives to this Christ and are baptized upon the confession of our faith. And I'd like to get a few verses in Romans, because I cannot say it as the writer of Romans does in Romans 6. I can't say it as good. I can't preach it any better than it is written when he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? You know, and that sadly is where a lot of people want to end it right there. They want to say, well, we died with Christ. And that's good. It's good that we died with Christ, but we also want to be resurrected with Him to newness of life. It's good. And then he says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He says it right there. He says we were buried with Him by baptism. And here we baptize, we immerse you. If we baptize you, we put you under the water. We put you in the lake or the river or a tank if it's winter. We just had several baptisms here in the past several weeks. And thank God that they elected to be baptized in the tank and we didn't have to go chop holes in the ice. But we literally put you under the water. We believe that this is what baptism means and what it signifies. And there's a lot of power there. Then he says this, he says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So yeah, when we go down under the water, it's signifying that we're planted together in the likeness of his death. But then we don't leave that saint down under the water to drown. We raise them up out of the water, and that signifies being resurrected together with Jesus Christ. And can such a one still say that the power of sin is still upon him? Can he say that I'm still just a sinner, that all you did is make me wet? No, you are resurrected together with Jesus when you're brought up out of the water. I just love the way he puts it. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." And I love that. He says, "For knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." This is one of the mysteries of the gospel. When Jesus Christ went to the cross approximately 2,017 years ago, he took you and I to the cross with him. He crucified. We went to the cross with him. That old man was destroyed. It was killed. It was nailed to the cross. And you cannot kill it again. Well, your job, what you and I embrace, is we embrace that Jesus Christ took my old man to the cross and he nailed it there. And he suffered. He paid the penalty there. I need to receive that. I need to be buried with him in baptism and resurrected together to the newness of life. Is this a reality, us, in our Christian experience? So many profess Jesus. They know about it in their head, but they don't know the way of the cross. They know nothing. They certainly don't believe in living in the power of his resurrection. I'd like to get a few scriptures in Philippians. Philippians 3, 9 and 10, Paul wrote this. He says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He didn't want us just to know that Jesus died on the cross and leave it at that. But he wanted us to know about the power of his resurrection. And that, beloved, is where we will find the power to say no to the things that Brother Jordan preached to us about this morning. The power to say no to those things that the world has said is okay. You see, when we're truly saved and truly resurrected together with Jesus, we live in victory by that same power that raised Jesus from the grave. And again, this is in the Bible as well. Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. I'd like to get these two verses. They're so important that we get this. "Much of my Christian life was lived outside of believing that this is Scripture. These are things that God is teaching us by his Word." And it's like this guy says, you know, the world, you can speak religion, you can talk about God. You can talk about God and believing, even like with the Jew at the airport. But when you start talking about a Jesus that died to take you from the take the power of sin out of your life, they don't like talking about that anymore. They say, "Oh, you're some kind of a self-righteous. You can't possibly live above sin. You can't possibly." This is what the Word of God tells me today. It says in Romans 8, verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." I love that. That is, he says, it's the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. And then he says, by that Spirit, your mortal body will be made alive. There's something heavenly that goes on. When Jesus Christ, when you're resurrected together with Christ, there's a divine nature that comes up in you. If all you know about is Jesus Christ in your head and you try to live your Christian life just knowing about it, but there's nothing heavenly that has happened in your heart, you're not going to be in victory because the roots of that thing are still there when it's all it is head knowledge. But when you embrace the resurrected Christ and you invite Him by the power of His Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ dead from the tomb, to put that Spirit in you and raise you up together in newness of life, that's where the key lies to victory. That's where it goes all the way down to the roots, and those old roots of sin melt away as if they were not. And you say, well, brother, don't you ever sin? I wish I could say I never do, but that's my aspiration. You say, well, then how can you say that you're not a sinner? I'll tell you, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is so powerful that me as a saint, when I sin, that Holy Spirit convicts me, and I confess that sin, and He says that sin is gone. That's how I can identify as a saint. And a sinner, when he's not met up with Jesus, he's just a sinner. Sin just drags him left and right and up and down, and it's never a time of victory. When you're a saint, you have an avenue. You have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ. And that's how we identify with Him. When we walk in this power, it's the key to being in victory. You see, it isn't just enough to really, really badly want to not look at pornography. It's not enough to really, really badly want to be free from a sexual addiction or really wanting and trying really hard. It won't bring lasting freedom. It won't be. And then there is a place for us to do our part, but we cannot do that in our strength. We cannot do that by just head knowledge and by just doing it in any way out of just who we were born as. And so with that, we need to come to God with an honest heart. We need to come to God with an honest heart. This week as we're here together and we want to make our calling and election sure, first I believe we need to be honest. And then we also need a commitment. A commitment to fleeing to Jesus, repenting, which means turning from sin and turning to God, accepting the resurrection power of Christ. Is your honesty and commitment here with you? Is there a level of that with us? You see, most men, the problem that they have with their sin, they've allowed sin to dwell too long, and they've not given Christ room to dwell by the power of His Holy Spirit. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit and sin are not happy campers together. It clashes. You try to live your life in the Holy Spirit, somehow you want to kind of hang on to a little bit of your pet sins and your favorite little avenues that you like the flesh to indulge in. And you wonder why you're unhappy or why you're depressed. It's because you're trying to put the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of sin together. You're trying to put them into the same vessel, and they don't go well together. It don't work well. It's like you try to take a bucket of oil and a half a bucket of water and you want to mix it and properly blend it. You can't do it. And that's why you want to try to live your life as a Christian, and yet you want to try to allow some of the lusts of your flesh to be there, and you try to be happy, you try to have joy, and you cannot do it because they don't go well. They cannot go together, because where the power of the Holy Spirit is given reign in your life, in your vessel, those things have to go away. It's like somehow you try to mix light and darkness. You can't do that. Darkness can only be because of the absence of light. You take all the lights off in here and put some dark covers over this room, it's going to be dark in here. And so you cannot try to mix that. And that's why it's so important that we understand the power of His resurrection. That you allow Him to, you know, so many times when we deal with sin, we swat away at the fruit. Oh, we take the machete and we chop away at the fruit of it. We just want to get rid of that pornography. We just want to take that cell phone away and burn it. And maybe that's a place some of you are. I don't know. I'm not knocking that. But we want to swat away at the fruit instead of getting down to the root of the problem, and that is we have wandered away from God. We have given our flesh the right to rule, and we've not walked in the power of the resurrection. We didn't deal with the root issue, which is that we're not connected to our living God by the power of His Spirit. And so we want to be free, and we must do our part in removing ourselves from temptation. I'm not going to knock that at all. I think that's wise. I think that if you have some problems and that phone is causing you to repeatedly fall, I think you're wise to blow a hole through it. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But it's still not the root of your problem. I still believe that you need to go down to the root and you need to be able to look at a phone, you need to look at a smartphone, be 100 miles from nowhere with good cell service and know that you can pull up every evil website and you will not do it. That's the power of God in you. That is the hope of glory in you. That's the power of the resurrection. It's saying, I want nothing to do with the paltry grains of sin because there's no life. I want to live my life resurrected with Jesus Christ. That, brother, is the kind of men that we want to see raised up. That's the men that you want your four boys to be. That's the daughters that I want my six girls and my son to be. I want them to be able to look at this stuff in the eye and say, that has no place in my heart because my heart, my vessel, is filled with something divine, something holy, something eternal. That's who we want to raise up the next generation to be. That's what we want. And believe me, please, I'm not for saying, oh, you know, get your 12-year-old on solid ground and get him a smartphone. Not at all. I do believe that it's wise in this generation to let those children to get some maturity in their life before they're tempted with these things. I'll just call it what it is. It was a serious mistake allowing my two oldest daughters to get smartphones too young. It's not going to happen with the next five. It's not going to happen. I just saw the pull that had on them. And it's so hard to lay those crazy things down, isn't it? It's really hard. And when you're not a mature Christian, you put those things in the hands of a 12, 14, 15, 16, 18-year-old young person, and you say, all right, you're a Christian. Here's your phone. Go do it. No, 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 no. He's not mature enough to handle some of this. There may be exceptions to that, but as a rule, I'd say don't do it. Give them some time and the freedom not to have to deal with those things. So we must recognize in our hearts that we need God, Jesus, and the Spirit in us. If our view of religion is to just take a bunch of self-help courses and know all about it in our head and just whack away at the fruits and, well, my home's going to be a safe place. And I love the idea of homes being a safe place. Don't get me wrong. But I also know that we've got to get a deeper spirit. We've got to have that deeper spiritual thing, the power of the Holy Spirit. I worry when I think of the next generation and the things that they're going to face. But I know in my heart that if somehow we can get ingrained in them the power of that Holy Spirit, and we get ingrained in them the power of His Word, and they see that through the power of His Word, His love is going to be perfected in them. If we can send them forth like that, they're going to make it. So we want to get them to Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And may we, as we come to that cross, may we give Him room. He who has conquered sin and death, every part of it, every part of our being, doing, and living, being so wrapped up in Him that no matter whatever that the enemy comes and he torments us with, he tempts us with, we can say no, because there's something divine going on inside of me. There's something eternal that I found at the cross. There's something that happened when His blood was applied and has broken every evil chain of sin in my life. He said, I don't need it anymore. And I've realized that no matter those things of sin and the flesh that I'd ran after so profusely, I grew up a very sinful, very vile young man and ran after a lot of lust of the flesh. And I thank the Lord today that He made me a new creature. That those things have no hold on me. That horrible rock and roll that I used to turn on and listen to and love the beat and the message of that, it has no hold on me anymore. You could put me on top of the mountain 100 miles away. I'd have an opportunity to listen to rock and roll. I wouldn't do it because I know it doesn't give me life. It doesn't minister to the Spirit that is now in me. And so He changes us. He makes us new by the power. And I know some of you may not have been baptized this way, and I'm not here to knock your baptism, but I really believe that there's really something awesome that happens when you are baptized and you go down under that water. It's a spiritual thing. When you're resurrected up out of there in newness of life, I believe there's something real powerful about that. And I believe that it's very important that we recognize what happened that day. That we recognize that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and I'm resurrected from the dead with him. That there's no more of the grave clothes hanging on to me. There's no more of those sins, those chains of darkness that have the right to be attached to Gideon Utsi. There's no more of those sins that have even a right, even a corner, even a little door to my house, even a little corner of the door of my house. I can't board that little section up and say, well, I want to keep this for my flesh. But when we're resurrected together, when we recognize that our old man was crucified, and we accept that, that it was crucified with him, that he nailed it to the cross, that with him we were crucified, it was put to death, and we're resurrected to newness of life. Beloved, I don't know what your issue is today, or if you even have an issue. You look like a really happy, joyful bunch of men, and I hope that you're all saved and you're all grounded, and we're just here to exhort and move each other closer to the cross and closer to our loving Father, and help each other along that highway to heaven. I hope that's who we are today. Maybe you don't have any of the issues that I spoke about, but maybe you're just a little bit on the lukewarm side and you're tired of it. Beloved, in every one of these things, whatever it might be, I want you to believe with honesty and commitment today that whatever it might be that is giving your heart the slightest bit of a tug, the downward, if there's one thing that is just a nagging thing, I want you with honesty and a level of commitment, make it a commitment that when you leave here, you will not let that downward thing go home with you. It's not because you come to Rexford, to the lakeside. It's not about trying to say that our men's conference was a success, but it's about the future of you and your family's lives. Don't let that thing that might be tugging you, pulling you, weighting you down, robbing you of your joy, don't believe the lies of the devil that says, nope, that part, it's just who I am. That part is just going to be a part of me. It's just going to be there. It's not going to be. We just had a daughter. She's 20 years old. She struggled tremendously. She had some kind of a profession when she was 10 years old, and she just didn't walk in victory. The other week, she just gave that up. She confessed her sins and was baptized upon her confession of faith. I was so thankful for that. You know, I could have sat there with pride and said, well, she's the preacher's daughter. She has to be spiritual. We can't acknowledge that you weren't saved. No, I rejoice that the Spirit of God worked in her heart. And that's what we need to come to, is a place of honesty. If you've not been saved, if you're not freed in this week, if you're not sure where you're at, just find freedom. There's places, there's brothers here that will pray with you and with us. And I'm not here to tell you that you can't get to Jesus on your own. And, you know, many do. Many do have a time of prayer at their bedside, and they come through. And that's okay if that's the way you come to Jesus. But you're here this week for a purpose. And I just challenge you to be honest and to be committed and allow His power, His Word, to do a ministration, an operation of God in your heart, if there's anything there. And don't try to keep it a secret and continue on. That doesn't work either. It says in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There will be a day when He will judge the secrets that we hold in our heart. And may God help us that there's none there that are sins that we're trying to hide and keep secret. It says also in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I want mercy. I want that peace. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God's going to bring all those things. You know, we might think that we'll give everything up, but there's one little area of my heart. I will not say, I'm not bringing it up. I'm not confessing it in prayer group. I'm not going to deal with it because you may believe the lies of the devil that says, you're fine, you're a Christian, but that part of your life, you are not going to have victory. Do not believe those lies. You know, and some of these things, they are so complicated. I'll give you this. They're so complicated that there may not be a perfect fix here at this men's conference. But what you do when you release that problem It might be in your family back at home. It might be a wayward child. It might be a struggling relationship that you have with your wife. It might be something that we can't necessarily put a fix on right now. But when you release that thing to the power of the living God, and you say, I'm not sure how this is all going to come about, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of trying to fix it in my own power. I'm tired of being resolved that this is just the way it's always going to be. And I'm going to release it to a divine, to something heavenly. I'm going to release it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And somehow, through your divine power, through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you're going to start a work in my family. You're going to start a work in that child that I have spoken to till I was blue in the face and it's not changing. That I have lectured and I've preached and I've tried to control by making some more rules. I was not successful. And today, God, we're going to start something new. We're going to release that problem. We're going to release them to you and invite you by the power of that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to release that power into that child, into that marriage, into that thing that I have believed the lie of the devil and that I'm heavy about. I'm going to release that into him. I'm going to say, God, here is the situation. Fix it for me. I believe in that. It takes honesty and it takes commitment. Some may say, why are you challenging us so hard in this? Because I believe that if we come together as a men's conference, and I believe you're going to hear some wonderful things spoken by the brothers in this conference. And if there's something heavy here today, I don't want that heaviness or that sin or that thing clouding up the rest of your week. We don't need to go through the week and think, well, I'll deal with that just before I slip out the door on Friday night. I would just say, if there's something like that that's heavy on your heart, deal with it this day. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've just wandered away from God, and maybe you've had a bad religious experience, or you just don't feel connected. You don't feel close to God. You just need to recommit and reconnect. And maybe you've never embraced that Jesus that was resurrected from the grave. Maybe you never received His Spirit in your life. Maybe you just lived the Christian life by what you knew in your head, and you were good with that, but it's not producing any fruit. The only thing when somebody looks at your tree, it's a tree of religion. Everything looks good on the outside. You've got all your children on the bench on Sunday morning and your wife is there and she looks good on the outside, but you know in your heart there's no fruit and you're tired of that. God can change that this week. If you're tired of that, when He comes up and Jesus looks into your heart and He looks at the nice leaves and He says, there's nothing here but leaves. And you're tired of that, just leaves and no fruit coming out of your Christian experience. God can change that. If our level of honesty and commitment is that God can change that even this week, even today. Maybe there's some of you here, you've got it all together. You've really just come to encourage others. And you know, if there's nothing in our heart, let's just be open. I've been to men's conferences where I've sat under messages and the preacher started in and I'm kind of like, well, this doesn't really affect me. And before he was done, the Holy Spirit would touch my heart and has brought me to tears. And so let's be honest and let's be committed this week. And I believe that you will much more enjoy the rest of this conference, if you will, even today, to make a decision that no matter what, you're going to be honest. And no matter what, you're going to be committed to allowing His resurrection power to take over your life this week. If you're here today and you want that, you by the power of His Spirit, you say, I want that. I want His Spirit in me. That Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, I've never experienced that in my life. I've never been resurrected. I've just known about Him in my head. And the devil has jerked me around and likes to point out my sin to me every day. There's an end to that. There's an end to that. It's calling out for the power of Jesus Christ. It's coming the way of the cross. It's coming that way, and it's applying the blood of Jesus to your problem, to that lukewarmness, to the sin of unbelief, to the addiction, to the anything that is robbing you of the joy of the Lord, to the anything that is keeping you from walking in that resurrection power. Revelation 21:7 says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I don't know about you, brothers, but I want to be an inheritor of all things that are of God. I want all the things that God has for me as a child of God. I want all things. I have a huge responsibility, as many of you do, as a father of 7 children, 6 daughters and a son, and you can pray for me. 6 daughters to marry off, hopefully, in this generation. It's a challenge. So I need your prayers in that. It's a huge responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. And I want to inherit all things that he has for me. And he says here that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. It's going to be, you cannot inherit all the things that God has for you if you are determined that you're going to guard a part of the room of your heart. If you're determined that you're going to hang on to some of your sin, you want it both ways. You cannot have it that way. You need to change your identity and make your, and through the power of Christ, identify as one of his sons. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We cannot fight in both of those camps. You can't sit here and partake of the things of the devil and say, but I'm going to raise my family for the glory of God. It's not going to work out. We need to bring those things under the power of his resurrection. And we can overcome and be an inheritor of all things of God. I'm very excited today about the gospel. And I can look at the future and I could say, well, it's depressing, some of the statistics. But it's not as a child of the living God. It's a sign of the times we're in. It's a reminder of the battle that we have ahead of us. But it is also puts in me the urgency of equipping those beautiful children that God has given me a charge and a beautiful wife that God has given me for my helpmeet. It also puts a sense of urgency in me that I am totally, completely honest and totally, completely committed to his ways and be resurrected together with him to be an effective minister to that family that God has put me in charge of. I'd like to close with a few scriptures in Revelations. I think I have time to get these. Revelations 3, 15 to 22. There may be still some here today that are you know, maybe you're still trying to listen to the enemy that says, well, I want what he's saying, but I'm afraid. I want what he's talking about, but I don't really want to. I don't want my dad to know. My dad's here, and I don't want him to know about it. There's somebody that needs to know about it, and that's your Heavenly Father. And if you bring these things to him, and please, don't keep kicking the can down the road. Don't just think, well, I'll say a little prayer, and I'll look like I professed outwardly. People try that. You know that? They do that. They have sins in their life, and the Spirit moves, and they get emotional, and they'll pray, and they'll cry a little bit. And they'll say, boy, I prayed about that. You know, that's good. It's good to start praying. But what we really need to do is go deep, down deep. And we need to be brutally honest. And we need to invite God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to take the root of that thing that I've been kicking down the road for the last 10 years and have not found a victory. And I just keep, sometimes I pray about it, and sometimes I confess it to a brother, and sometimes I talk about it, and on and on and on. I just kind of keep flinging the can, going down the road and saying, I just can't. Sometimes we have to go way down deep, and we've got to invite God by the power of his Holy Spirit to rip it out. To rip it out. Say, put your blood in there and take that thing out of there and put a piece of yourself right there so it can't come back. Really serious repentance and allowing him by the power of his Spirit. But anyway, in Revelation, I need to keep moving. 3, verse 15, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. He gives us a very serious thing about the lukewarm. He says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with good and have not goods and have not need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says in verse 20, you maybe think that it's not for me this day. Someday I want that. Someday I want the power of that resurrection. Someday I want to be that man, but I don't want it today because I still like my sin. He says right here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, it's good, I know it's there, I know it's in the Bible, but I am not willing to commit my life. I believe with all my heart that if God has not knocked at the door of your heart already today, he is going to. He's going to knock at the door of your heart. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door. Do you see where honesty and commitment is so important? He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Are you willing to open the door of your heart? And are you willing to let him go in there and take that thing out? That'll take it out of there. That thing that you've allowed the roots to be there. You've gotten rid of the phone. You put it away, but you didn't deal with the root of it, and so it keeps coming back. Are you willing to rip that door wide open and say, God, by the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I want that this week in a way that I've never known it. I want that power deep in my heart where the roots of that sin, that thing, that addiction, that whatever it might be is in my heart, I want you to take it out of there because you're going to take those roots out and put the power of the resurrection deep in there. May the Lord help us. If you want that, if you're honest and committed to that, he will do it. I'm going to close and I'm going to pray a scripture. I appreciate you being here again. I look forward to spending the week with you, and I look forward to God doing a deeper work in my own heart. I really do. I really look forward to him touching me in some way and changing me from glory to glory. And that's the scripture that I want to close in prayer, and it's 2 Corinthians 3, 16, 8-18. If you would just bow your heads and your hearts, it speaks about being changed from glory to glory. Some of you may never have seen the glory of the Lord. Maybe you've never been to a place where you felt like your sin, the root of that thing was ripped out and you've had him put that power of his Spirit in you. Maybe that's the case. And maybe there's some of you here that you've been there one time, but now you've kind of grown cold. You've kind of waxed cold and you've kind of let the things of the world draw you away. And it's been quite a while since you could say, I've been changed from glory to glory. Let's just pray and pray this, read this as a prayer that God, through this week, would change us from glory to glory. He says, starting in 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. God, we receive that. We receive that as a promise. When we turn to the Lord, you'll take the veil away. And it says in 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, we want your Spirit here. May your Spirit be here. The Spirit of the Lord. That Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That Spirit by which we now look to our Jesus and he's not dead. He's resurrected and we're resurrected together with him. Lord, let that Spirit be here this week. Without it, we're wasting our time, Lord. Let liberty be here this week. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down and just fill our hearts, Lord. Maybe we're here this week and we think, oh, I've pretty much got it together. I've got a nice family. And Lord, we want you to do a deeper work in our heart. Lord, we want the Spirit of liberty to be here, Lord, that you would change us from glory to glory. It says in 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Dear God, we want to be changed from glory to glory. Lord, there may be some here that have never seen the glory of the Lord. They have never experienced the glory of the Lord. They have never come to a place in their life where salvation was anything more than head knowledge. Lord, there may be some here that have professed their whole life and they go to church and they've been religious, but they've never embraced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray today that you would enter. If there's any here that are troubled in this way, I pray, Lord, that the glory of the Lord would descend upon them and you would set them free by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, then there are others of us that have been professing religion. We've been serving you and seeking you. And Lord, I believe there's a deeper work. I believe that my Christian life is not just to experience the glory of the Lord one time, God. But I believe, Lord, that you want us as a man of God to be changed from glory to glory. You want us, when we go and we spend time with our wives and children, they can see Daddy has been, he's seen the glory of the Lord. He's coming home as a deeper man of God. He's coming home no more with the chains of sin, but something has touched him. It's divine and it's heavenly, God. Oh, Lord, may that be our testimony this week. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon each brother that's in this place today, Lord. And may you descend upon us with your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, we need you, God. We just pray, give us freedom. Bring us the Spirit of the Lord so that there can be liberty here and you can do a work that you want to do in each one of our hearts, Lord. We ask you this in absolute desperation because of man, we cannot do it. But where your Spirit is, there will be freedom. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers, for being here and for listening.